Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Spurs assistant coach Becky Hammon made history last night when she became the first woman to serve as an acting NBA head coach. Greg Popovich was ejected in the second quarter, and Hammon took over from there. LeBron said it was a beautiful thing, seeing Hammon, quote, barking out calls from the sideline, and Frank Vogel said, quote, she's going to be a great head coach one day. So, Shannon, do you see her getting an NBA head coaching job?
I do, Skip, but it's going to have to be an owner that's bold and very visionary. Yep. Now, as these younger owners are coming in, I think there's more likely to be one of them. Now, the only owner that's currently in the NBA that I believe has the moxie and the vision to do this would be Mark Cuban. But he's very happy with Rick Carlisle.
Yep.
Rick Carlisle is a damn good coach.
Mm-hmm.
But Mark Cuban, I can see Mark Cuban doing something like this. The question is, Skip, who's going to be the Branch Rickey? Who's going to let Becky Hammon be the Jackie Robinson?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to get some criticism, Skip. I mean, just with anything. Because, you know, women ain't got no business coaching no man. What she know about basketball? Mm-hmm. She ain't playing the NBA. Skip, you know how it is.
Yep.
So who's going to be bold enough? This is, man, I don't care what the fans say. I don't care how it look. I believe with her resume and the amount of time that she spent on the sideline and the amount of time she spent around Greg Popovich, mm-hmm. coaching and being in meetings and sitting in on those situations, I believe she's ready to lead a team. And so it's just going to take that person that who is going to be Branch Rickey, Skip. Who's going to give her that opportunity? But I believe she's qualified. And I think, could she get a head job at college? Sure she could. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's been called numerous times, Skip, to get women's jobs.
She has.
I don't know.
Florida was the latest that offered the women's job.
Yeah, she's on one.
Her alma mater, Colorado State, offered her the men's job, and she turned it down because she wants to be an NBA head coach.
Skip, because that's, you know what? Okay, let's just say she takes the job at Colorado State. That's a great, she's the first woman to be a head coach at a major university in college. That don't have the same ring and cachet.
No.
She's the first NBA female head coach. And I believe she's very deserving. I believe she's going to get an opportunity. Is it going to be the opportunity in San Antonio? How much longer is Pop going to be on the chair? I don't know, Skip, but I do believe she's going to get an opportunity. But it's going to take somebody bold. It's going to take somebody with moxie because although you and I and how we see things, everybody don't see things the way we see things. And so it's going to have to be an owner that probably some of his fan base is not going to take kindly to that. Because, Skip, you get used to what you're used to seeing. You've always seen men coach men. And for the most part, you've always seen women coach women. Now you see a lot more men coach women college basketball. But this is what, so I believe she gets an opportunity. I hope she gets her opportunity. She seems to know what she's talking about. Hey, you're like, hey, pick up the pace, and she's calling out sets. I'm like, okay, Becky, do your thing.
Let me tell you how much I believe in Becky Hammon being a head coach in this league. A year ago, as you recall, Tim Duncan tried being an assistant coach for Greg Popovich. It's hard. It's a lot of travel. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of film study. It's a lot of coaches' meetings. It's a lot of drudgery.
Well, what did Pop say about Dougie? Yeah, I didn't think it's going to be a long term. No. I didn't think it was long term in his future.
Okay, but one night last season, Pop got tossed.
Yeah.
And I was outraged because he turned and nodded to the rookie assistant coach on the bench, Tim Duncan.
You got it.
No, you don't got it. She's got it. She's got tenure over you. Now she's in her seventh season as an assistant coach for Greg Popovich. And obviously he has been a pipeline of assistants going to head coaching jobs.
Yes.
If you observe her closely, you know she has presence about her.
Mm-hmm.
She has a command to her. She has a stature about her because she exudes a confident feel for basketball that won over all those players immediately. The one I was most skeptical of was Tony Parker. She played point guard at the highest level in the WNBA.
Yep. Six-time All-Star.
For the New York Liberty, her number retired into the Ring of Honor. And then as a San Antonio Spur, her jersey was retired number 25. Mm-hmm. So it was 8 years in New York, 8 years for San Antonio Stars.
Stars.
And what was she as a point guard? She was obviously smart.
Mm-hmm.
She was a leader, and she was tough, physically and mentally tough, and she competed at the highest level, Olympics and in WNBA.
Yep.
And right away, Tony Parker was in awe of her.
Mm-hmm.
And she spent a year when she was hurt helping out there, and Tony just gravitated to her because he liked her view of it, her vision of how to play point guard and what worked and what doesn't. As Pop always says, she has a knack for what works and what does not work.
Skip, the thing is, talking to Tony Dungy, I had him on my podcast, and he said, and I asked him about coaching Peyton Manning. He says, Peyton is really easy to coach, but he's very difficult to coach. He says, he wants you to help him become better. He wants to be great. The problem is his expectations. The players, can you help me become great? But you have to temper their expectations because, bro, hold on now. We can't do all this in one day. But over time, as you said, the amount of time that she spent in San Antonio, and they were like, hold on. She was here with Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu and Kawhi. She already got credibility.
Mm.
She got credit. Anybody that comes in there, because it's hard for you to be better than what they were.
I got it. You're right. Okay, so Greg Popovich said many times publicly, the day Tim Duncan walks out that door, I'll be walking right behind him. Boy, that was 4 years ago. And guess who's still head coach? So
He's 72 next month, Gil.
I got it. But I don't know. I think in his heart of hearts, he's thinking, and if I quit, I would do what?
Exactly.
Drink wine?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. So I think he still loves it. I think he's still on fire to do it. And I'm not sure he's going to go anytime soon.
I don't either.
They have another bright, young, obviously male assistant on staff named Will Hardy. And the insiders all tell me he's the next Budenholzer, obviously the coach of the Bucks.
Because you mentioned Pop Street, Skip, Budenholzer. Brett Brown was in Philly for a number of years. Jim Brolin, Taylor Jenkins in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And James Borrega. I think that's in Charlotte.
Yep.
So
I mean, he's doing well. They wiped out Dallas.
And Melo.
LaMelo's starting to Mello's
starting to pop.
Yeah, okay. So the point is that Will Hardy's got next as far as somebody's going to come and snatch him up who needs a head coach elsewhere. But to your point, to me, Becky is still perfectly positioned to follow Pop.
Right.
And I think R.C. Buford really has the highest respect for her. And he loves Will Hardy, too.
Right.
So to me, the best move would be for her to hang in and hang on until he finally says that's enough. I don't know when that's going to be, and I'm not sure it's going to be anytime soon. But the time is feeling righter and righter to have a female head coach in this league. Because what do I see? And I watch NBA like crazy. It seems like every game I turn on, I see a female referee.
Yep. I see a lot more.
It's a new movement.
Yep.
Thanks to our commissioner right now, he's saying more. Mm-hmm. Let's even it up.
Yep.
And again, the more female refs there are, the more respect they will garner, and the more it'll seem commonplace to have a female in a power position during an NBA game.
Yeah, for the longest time, Skip, it was just two. I can't remember the black female, but I know Dee Cantor was one of the white females. So it was for the longest time.
Yep.
And like you said, now I see three or four of them. And I think they just elevated another one a couple of weeks ago. Skip, I believe it's probably going to have to be there. I agree with you. I believe she's going to have to secede Pop. Because I don't know if these the owners are like, Skip, they're old school. And they've been doing it, you know, they hire according to like, okay, you just hire this guy because they fit the profile.
I got it.
So I believe it's going to be a situation like this. And sometimes, and if I'm Pop, I would leave a year earlier. If you look at the way Coach Smith did it in North Carolina, Skip, he left the cupboard for Bill Guthrie to have something. Tony Dungy left Indy, so Jim Caldwell could have something.
He did.
Don't let the cover get totally barren so she doesn't really have a chance to succeed.
That's a good
point. And they can say, I told you she should have never got a job anyway.
Okay, she is now in the pipeline. It's Popline, officially.
Yes.
I like Popline. but the point is, in 2017, she interviewed for the Bucks GM job.
Right.
Well, I want to see her be a head coach, but that's fine too. But then remember, just a few months back in October, she interviewed for the Indiana head coaching vacancy.
Right.
So you know how it works in the NFL. Once you get in the pipeline, your name's out there, and owners start thinking, well.
Yeah, I didn't hire, but she was a great interview.
Yeah,
she really knows her stuff, and you know that word.
Well,
you know,
it's almost like the Rooney Rule for minority coaches in football has to start working for the female to get the head job in basketball, right?
Yep.
Okay, so she just needs interviews to get her name out there and her presence out there. And she is highly capable. Now let's see if somebody has the guts.
That's what it's going to take, Skip.
And I believe there are 9 female coaches in the league right now, so the number's rising. And also, I liked what Frank Vogel said. He said the guys respect her, and that's what it should be all about. I just look forward to the day where this isn't a story for us. I know it's step in the right direction, but that's what I'm looking forward to someday, hopefully soon, guys.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shea Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
No mercy.
Well, here's the situation, guys. We will finally be able to crown the NFC East winner this Sunday. Washington can seal the division with a win over Philadelphia. However, if they lose, then it will be the winner of the Cowboys and Giants game that will be playoff bound. Former Cowboys and Eagles cornerback Orlando Scandrick is joining us now. Orlando, I feel like I've been asking you all year, but finally, this is when it really matters. In your opinion, who wins the NFC East?
The loyalist Cowboy fan in me is going to say the Cowboys. But when it comes down to it, I just don't know if the stinky Eagles have anything left in the tank.
Yeah, I'm hoping you're right. They don't have anything left in the tank. the Cowboys are going to win this game. So basically, it's on Washington. So the Giants are not winning. You don't win a game, and you look at them the way they played over the last 3 weeks. They've lost all of their games by at least 14 points. Two of the last 3 games, Daniel Jones have gone down at least 6 times in those games, because what makes him a competent quarterback, a serviceable quarterback, is his ability to get out of harm's way. He can run. Hence the 80-yard takeoff and run that he had against the Eagles the first game, and they came back about 3 weeks later, and he had a 34-yard touchdown run. But if he can't run, he's not good enough just sitting in the pocket throwing the football. If he was Tom Brady, if he was Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes, and he had that type of arm and had that type of accuracy, I can say, you know what, he can beat him from the pocket. But I haven't seen any of that where he can just consistently beat someone from the pocket. So I believe the Eagles. I believe the Cowboys will win this game very easily. Now, what it comes down to, do I believe Alex Smith, who hasn't played in what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks now? It'll be 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. With that bum calf, how much can he do? Can he not turn the football over, put the Eagles on short fields? You got to make Jalen Hurts drive the length of the football field to get points. And one thing that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, Jalen Hurts has turned the football over, too. We talk about Carson Wentz turning it over. Jalen Hurts is a turnover machine, too, now. You know, you see
both
that, right?
Both of them, man. Both of them. But, look, Skip, I know you're shaking your head, but let me dive into it. So when I look at football from all my 25 years of experience, I start from the front to the back. So I start from the trenches to the skill players. And I just think that Washington is too good, you know, up front, offensively and defensively. I think the Eagles will not be able to protect them. And I think with possibly Fletcher Cox missing this last game, the Eagles won't be able to affect Washington, and they won't even need Alex Smith or Tyler Heineke, whatever his name is. he won't even have to put the ball in harm's way, and they'll just turn around, they'll run it, they'll win ugly, and then they'll force some turnovers from the turnover machine, and then, you know. But I would love to see the Cowboys win, but I think the Cowboys take care of business, and, you know, they let things have to fall in their place.
Okay, before I answer this question one last time, I want to ask Mr. Skandrick a question, and nobody should be able to answer it better than he should be able to. Obviously, you played many years for the Dallas Cowboys, but you finished your career playing three games, 2019, for the Eagles. So you have some feel for that locker room and how they feel about the Dallas Cowboys. So give me your gut feeling about, deep down, subliminally, psychologically, subconsciously, the Eagles have to be thinking, if we win this game, we're going to be winning the division for the Dallas Cowboys. Again, they have to go win at New York first, but they'll know this because they're playing the night game. So deep down, how much will it gnaw at them that they could be winning the division for the team they hate the most?
I don't think that that's a factor at all. Because at the end of the day, they're still, this is their job. This is how they feed their families. Guys are going to have a chance to go into the offseason and put themselves in position to make a lot of money coming up in free agency. And, you know, if you go out there and you lay an egg, some guys may not make any money. And this is always a job audition for the other 31 teams in the league. So I think they go out there and they play hard. One thing they do always seem to do is play hard regardless of who's on the field. So I think they do play hard, and I don't think it really matters to them if Dallas wins the division or not.
Okay.
Skip, you also might be playing hard for a new coach. You know, he's going to be looking at that tape, too. Ain't no assurances. I know Doug Peterson said that, you know, I have every reason to believe that I'm coming back in 2021. But I hadn't heard Jeffrey Lurie say that.
Mm. Okay. So back to the question at hand. Back to the Cowboys. We haven't discussed the Jason Garrett factor. Obviously, Jason Garrett coached this team for way too long. And he coached Skandrick for a long
time.
Three
divisions. You got three division titles.
Yeah, lots of 8-8s in there. Old 8-8 Jason, and he's up there trying to direct that offense, and it's going nowhere slowly, as usual. No surprise here. But obviously, Jason knows where all the bodies are buried in the Cowboy defense because he knows it up close and personal. I don't think it's a huge advantage for New York because everybody knows where the bodies are buried on the Dallas defense because they're everywhere, right?
Just run the football.
Just run it. Again, do the Giants have the capability to run the football? Well, it's not what they do very well because they're ranked by Pro Football Focus, the 26th rushing attack, and they're down to Wayne Gallman. And I've always respected him because he will try hard, but he's got one 100-yard game this year, and it was at Seattle when they pulled off maybe the upset of the year with Colt McCoy at quarterback. What was it, four games back?
Yep.
And now they've lost three in a row. So speaking of not having enough left in the tank, they hate Dallas too, so I'm sure they will play as hard as they can. I just don't think they're good enough because they don't rush the passer and they don't protect their passer enough, and so that should be a huge advantage for Dallas. So Dallas is actually favored by 2 points at New York. So I believe Dallas is going to win this game 30-20 because Dallas had just caught fire on offense, and it's hard to deal with Andy Dalton throwing a Michael Gallup, and if you want to double or triple him, if you want to try to take him completely away, good luck with Amari Cooper and better luck with CeeDee Lamb. So I see Dallas winning this game fairly easily. Now I'm back to Orlando's contention, Orlando Scandrick, that the Eagles don't have enough left in the tank. Well, man, they gave Dallas all they wanted last Sunday.
For a half.
Well, wait a second. Jalen Hurts had 411 total yards in that game. Is that good?
In three turnovers.
Have you ever seen a game won in 30 minutes?
A game won in 30 minutes? No.
They didn't have nothing left. But this is what scares me. I don't even want to get back into the Eagles. You know, the Eagles, they don't have it. That's last week's lunch. But to get back to the Giants, what scares me about the Giants is they're so well coached on defense. And it's going to be a colder game. It's going to be an 80% precipitation. It's going to be a wet game. And it just, I don't have the confidence to when they stack the box. When they put eight people in the box and they totally commit to making Dalton beat you, I don't have the confidence that Andy Dalton could take the Dallas Cowboys anywhere.
There was a stretch there, Skip, where the Giants' defense, they could generate pressure. You remember how they was getting to Tom? They was getting to Tom, made Tom uncomfortable. And that was one of the reasons why they beat Seattle in Seattle. They got Russell Wilson 5 times. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I don't know what happened. What happened was that their quarterback started turning the football over and they started going 3 and out. And after a while, 3 and out, 3 and out, you wear down any defense. And I think they started to get worn down. And I think if I'm the Cowboys, that's my plan. My plan is to try to keep him out there as long as I possibly can. And then if I'm on the defensive side, Mike Nolan, hey, go get him. He can't go anywhere. Where are you running? And the last thing that you ever want to try to do, if you got a pulled hamstring, is move suddenly. So I'm turning the hounds loose. I'm blitzing my linebackers. I'm coming to get them.
I will give you this. The Giants' defense is 10th in points allowed. Yeah. So you can say they're a top 10 defense, right? Mm-hmm. Orlando, I don't know if you've been watching closely Andy Dalton over the last 3 games. He's got 7 touchdowns to 1 interception, and he's on fire with Michael Gallup.
Fire versus the Bengals with their third-string quarterback. The 49ers with their third-string quarterback and the Eagles with their practice squad players.
Okay. Did you happen to notice what the Bengals did after they lost 30-7 to Andy Dalton in his return to his old stomping grounds, what they turned right around and did to the Steelers, 27-17?
What I'm trying to tell you is it's a division game. Sharp, you know when you play in the league, you have division games. It don't matter how bad you are. You're going to compete.
Okay, and I guess you'll dismiss this as another division game, but then Andy Dalton hung 41 on San Francisco. San Francisco turned right around and held Kyler and company to 12.
Well, they might have should have started C.J. Beathard instead of Mullins, because Mullins is a turnover machine. All you got to do is just pull him arm and the ball just hit the dirt.
Okay, so Dallas has scored 30, 41, and 37. That's an average of 36 points a game over the last three. And you're saying Andy Dalton can't get it done?
Can I get me one of them cases of dude? Can I get a better for a case of dude that they won't score 30 points?
30? I got them scoring.
They won't even score 25.
Okay, I'll do 25 for a case.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate
you.
That.
Now all of a sudden he believes the Cowboy offense should be, you know, they should average 35, 36 points a game because they play some bad teams. Skip, that's not who they are.
Zeke finally.
But if you know Skip,
he had his career, his season best game on Sunday against Philadelphia. And I know it's not much, it's only the second time he went over 100, but he
week
went 16. For 105.
Week 16, Skip.
Did Zeke not run hard
he
on
did.
Sunday?
Yes.
Well, here we go. He'll be running hard against that defense. He's going to make that defense respect him. Have you been checking out this tight end named Dalton Schultz? So we got Andy Dalton and Dalton Schultz. That's a connection, Dalton to Dalton.
Not
work?
So that's one of the better tight end, quarterback tight end combinations now. Huh?
No, well, you told me you respect him.
Oh, yeah. He's got a nice game. Yeah.
He can block a little bit. We even got the Belldozer going. Blake Bell, the former Oklahoma quarterback. He can block and he can catch. And taken off on offense. The offensive line is passable.
Oh, this joker naming everybody now. Yeah. You're talking about we got the Belldozer. He's just naming everybody.
Well, he's been contributing. They even used him on a quarterback sneak on a 4th and short the other day. where he went in motion and then just took the snap. Unstoppable.
I want you to have this energy early in 2021.
I've got it.
I want you to have it early in 2021, Monday.
Yeah.
Monday at about 6:32. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need this energy that you got right now.
I'm just so disappointed in Orlando Scandrick, how pessimistic he is about his Cowboys.
Because I'm just, my job is not to be a fan.
No, that's
or
true.
Or a loyalist. My job is to tell it how I see it. And Connor McGovernor and Joe Looney and Connor Williams against Leonard Williams. And
Leonard Williams is payday, Skip. It's a payday, game for him.
Those guys are good defensive tackles. And every time I've been in Dallas and we looked ahead and, you know, we've had a game to play to win to get in, especially against the Giants, I remember getting the doors blown off a lot of the times being favorites.
Yep.
So I got to be realistic.
Do you remember what Andy Dalton did to the Giants in his first little soiree as a Cowboy? Do you remember what happened at the end of that game after, unfortunately, my man Dak Prescott was down and out in that game? Do you remember what he did?
He came in, he threw two good passes. Then he came next week, and he was a turnover machine against the Cardinals.
Yeah, but two great passes. Can we see those?
We got to go to break. I got to see him.
Two shots to Michael Gallup. We're not going to break. I'm going to break you. Look at this. He's on the run and throws a rope to Gallup. This is at the end of the game. This is do or die. And then he throws a bomb and hits him right in the breadbasket with it. Love it.
But the thing,
walk off field goal. Better. Thank you, Andy Dalton. You want to talk clutch? That was clutch.
Oh, man, stop it.
That was the Giants. That was a harbinger of things to come this Sunday. You know what harbinger is.
Yes, I do. But I also saw what came against Washington. Did you see what
he had a concussion. He had COVID.
On Thanksgiving?
No, the first time.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was pretty good on Thanksgiving, Ashley, but the defense got run off the field as usual.
But he did throw a pick six.
Not Thanksgiving. Okay. The first time they played Washington.
He was horrible. But he got concussed in the third quarter.
Y'all need to just let Skip have his moment.
He said he has a feeling. They have caught fire, and you guys don't see what I see.
Exactly. And then come Monday at, 6:32 a.m., mm-hmm. we'll have plenty to say and discuss, always. Orlando, we appreciate your time.
Get rid of Nolan. Get rid of this person.
Yeah, you know it's coming. It's coming. It's coming Monday.
All right. Orlando, have a nice and happy new year. We'll check in with you soon.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. It's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
While making an appearance on Bleacher Report's Untold Story series, Terrell Owens was asked if he has tried to mend his relationship with former teammate Donovan McNabb. T.O. replied by saying, quote, "I've tried, but he's phony." T.O. also didn't back down from the rumors that McNabb threw up in the huddle during the Super Bowl, saying he had talked to other teammates who saw the QB do it and that he knows for a fact that McNabb went out the night before the game. So, Shannon, whose side are you on here?
Neither. And I wish both of these guys would let it go. And I've talked to T.O. Skip on numerous occasions. I'm a little closer to T.O. Than I am Donovan. But although I know Donovan, but I've never talked to Donovan about this situation. But I've talked to T.O. about this numerous times. And I just, T.O., you need to let it go. Both of them, first of all, Skip, need to let it go. This transpired so long ago, Skip. You can't go back and replay the game. Skip, they had a sensational first year together. First pass Donovan threw, 80-plus yards, 81 yards to T.O., the very number that he had on. It was great. It didn't last long. And it just goes to show you how hard it is to win championships in the NFL, Skip, or at any level, when you have two guys and they bicker back and forth at each other and they become envious of each other for whatever the reason. Maybe one has more success than the other. Maybe one gets more credit than the other. Whatever the case may be. But they need to let this go. And, you know, I wish Donovan hadn't said, well, we could win without him. We won before he got here. There was a lot of things. And let me tell you something about T.O., the guy that I know. T.O. is the type of guy, I don't care who you are or what position you hold, if he feels you've wronged him, he will never, ever let it go. He'll never let it go.
Agreed.
We have a very similar background. He was raised by his grandmom. Yep. I was raised by my grandparents.
Yep.
And so we're very similar in upbringing, and our ideology is a lot alike. But I just, and I've asked T.O. on numerous occasions, bro, just let it go. Just make peace with it. You and Donovan, it's time out for this. There's so much more important things going on than you two grown 40-plus-year-old men to be bickering about something that happened almost 20 years ago. But it seems like every time someone put a microphone or a camera in front of Donovan, he takes a shot at T.O. They ask T.O. about it. He'll take a shot at Donovan. And they both need to be the bigger and just let it go, Skip. Just let it go. It's over. It was 1 year. It was great. It didn't work out. Just move on. Mm. If you don't want to, you know, I wish you could have a conversation like, you know, bro, there are some things I said that I probably shouldn't have said. I apologize. Yeah, you're right, bro. Then we were young. There's some things that I said I shouldn't have said. But sorry about it. Hey, be the better man and move on. But I just don't see that happening, Skip. I really don't.
I have heard from Terrell about this on many shows that he has been on mm-hmm. with me. I've talked at length with Donovan off camera about this.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to four or five of the leaders on that team about what did transpire or did not transpire. So I think I have a pretty good command of it. I do agree with you. It's time to let it go, but the wounds are so deep here that it's impossible for either to let it go. I think Terrell, after he was finally granted his Hall of Fame membership alongside mm-hmm. your bust,
mm-hmm.
that it really gave him some new peace about who he is and what he accomplished.
Right.
And I think he was ready to let it go. And then Donovan did an interview with Untold Stories in which he rebroached the subject. He brought it back up.
Yeah.
And that's when Terrell decided, you're a phony, and I'm going to fire back because I'm going to do Untold Stories.
Right.
I'm going to get you. and he dredged it all back up. And there's a lot of hearsay going on here about whether he did throw up in the huddle. And Terrell admits, I didn't see him. Well, if you didn't see him, are you sure about it? And he
right.
said, well, a couple of teammates said they saw him throw up. I don't know if he threw up in his mouth and spit it out.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm not sure he got down on his knees and barfed.
Yeah.
Not sure about that one
right.
because I think it would have been caught on camera
correct.
By somebody
mm-hmm.
somewhere, right? Then this whole idea that he went out drinking the night before, and then Terrell suggests that he, before every big game he played, he went out drinking. Well, I don't know. I think a lot of guys go out to blow off a little steam,
right.
you know, just to have a drink. I don't have any problem with that.
Well, maybe in the room, because Mike had a Mike Shanahan, the head coach, the guy,
yeah.
the bar's off limits.
No, absolutely.
Because it, the appearance of how it's going to look if somebody were to see you in there.
I'm with you.
So I'm not saying guys didn't have, Skip, obviously they had many bars in their room. I'm not saying guys didn't have a drink in their room, but I it's hard for me to believe in a situation like that. And I'm not saying that it happened or it didn't happen, that the night before the game, somebody would have saw something. That would have yeah. been that would have made the news.
Yeah, you're right about that. Okay, so let's go back to the genesis, the flashpoint of this. Remember, when Tara first got there, coming from San Francisco
yeah.
to Philadelphia, during camp, they weren't just roommates. They were soulmates. Mm-hmm. They were besties, man.
Right.
They clicked and connected
right.
and till death do them part. And to your point, it worked right away.
Yes.
On the field,
yes.
it worked. And then all of a sudden, Terrell got sideways with management over his contract and
mm-hmm.
this and that. He's always at it with somebody. And he's at it with Brad Childress, their offensive coordinator. And Donovan did not have his back,
right.
according to Terrell, the way Donovan had Westbrook's back
correct.
When Brian Westbrook was in contract
right.
impasse
right.
with management, right?
right? Because the general rule of thumb, Skip, when someone's going through this, we don't talk on someone else's money.
Yep.
Well, T.O. felt, well, you speaking positive about Brian Westbrook getting his money,
yep.
but you mum when it come to me. I thought we supposed to be boys. And for whatever reason, and T.O. felt deep down inside that Donovan became envious of him because the people of Philly started T.O. And he felt that rubbed Donovan like, hold on, Robbie, I'm the quarterback. I've been here the longest. And T.O. rivaled Donovan in popularity. Now, that's what T.O. felt that some of this came from. T.O. also told me the story, and I don't know how many other people that he's told this. He said, and they were playing the Giants, and he ran a route, ran a go route, and Donovan didn't see him. He didn't throw it. He said, Donovan, I had him on this go route.
Yeah, he said.
And he shut up. Mm-hmm. And T.O. said, look, he said, and Donovan told him that in front of everybody. And so he looked at him, and he said, Sharp, it was never the same after that. So I just wish they could let it go. They're not going to let it go. As my grandmother used to say, boy, stirring up old, you know, ish, it still stinks.
Mm-hmm.
The wounds are still there.
Yep.
So while you peeling the scab off, Skip, it's never going to heal. Just talk it out, guys. Come on. After everything that's done happen in 2020, that pettiness.
Okay. Final point on this. This is where I am on Donovan's side. Donovan has believed and will believe to his grave that they played better without Terrell in the first two playoff games. They were at home against Dante Culpepper and the Vikings,
right,
and against Michael Vick and
right,
the Atlanta Falcons.
Right.
But they won fairly convincingly. The Culpepper game was fairly, it was a 3-point game, but they beat Michael Vick. Just Jim Johnson's
right,
defense were all over.
Right.
It's 27-10. And Donovan played pretty to very well in those two home playoff games.
Right.
And then they faced Belichick and Brady in the Super Bowl in Jacksonville.
Skip, you weren't beating Belichick. They lost the game anyway. But if you thought you was going to play better without Skip, T.O., look, Andy's going to get the ball.
Remember, he's coming off a broken leg, and he rushed back.
Skip, he had, if I'm not mistaken, he had a very similar injury to what Dak Prescott had.
It's the Dak, and it was the horse collar injury.
That's why they banned it.
Got it.
But, Skip, I mean, 9 for $1.22. And it wasn't like Andy was forcing the ball. He's just like, if they're going to single cover him with Asante Samuel, whomever,
right. So,
I like this matchup.
Several of the leaders told me, Donovan is of this mindset, Terrell rushed back, and he just wasn't at full speed. Because how can you be? It's too short a turnaround.
I can't tell.
Okay. Well, that's what they thought. So, again, he was being single covered a lot. And Donovan felt like he had to force feed the ball to Terrell. He threw him 14 targets and he caught 9 for 122. There's one 36-yarder, which is fairly impressive, but no touchdowns and no threat of touchdowns. So to me, they're all believing. And again, this is easy 2020 hindsight because you're losing to a really good football team, a dynasty. Okay.
Yeah.
But remember, throw up or no throw up, late in the game with 1:48 left, Donovan finally found little Greg Lewis's little speedster for 30 yards. I think we have the 30-yarder. Okay, that was a good throw.
Yeah, it was a great throw.
Maybe you had to throw up to get it out of your system. I don't know.
That was a great throw, great route.
Okay, and that made it, that cut the margin to 24-21 with 1:48 left, which forced an onside kick.
Coach Blaschek with zero blitz again.
Okay, there you go. There you go. And they did not, New England recovered the onside, my man Christian Fourier.
Right.
My friend from ESPN.
Yeah.
He recovered it.
Right.
They're tight end at the time.
Yep.
And they milked the clock quite a bit, and then they punted back to him, and Donovan got the ball back at his 4-yard line with I think it was 46 seconds left, and they couldn't do anything, and he ended the game with an interception to Rodney Harrison.
Right.
He did throw 3 picks in the game, but now it's easy 2020 hindsight. They're all looking back saying, well, Terrell rushed back so he could be the hero, and he couldn't do enough to justify us force-feeding him the football. That's the contention.
Yeah. I think the thing is, for me, I can just admit, look, if one of our better players is trying to come back and is going to give us, and I believe they're a better football team with T.O. on the field, and I understand, Skip, they won those 2 games. But, Skip, if you look at the regular season, Donovan was a different quarterback. Donovan has never, ever looked as good as he did that year with T.O.
I'll buy that. I agree.
Any year before, go back and look it up.
Well, for that matter, Jeff Garcia has never looked better than he looked with Terrell Owens.
No.
It was magic, man.
You think about what a guy, everywhere the guy, you say, well, he destroyed it. But you look at him in San Francisco. You look at him in Philly. You look at him in Dallas. He goes to Buffalo. He leads them. He goes to Cincinnati. He could play.
Yep.
Skip, I get it.
I know he could play, but I called him Team Obliterator for a reason, because in the locker room, he was hard to deal with.
He
was his own worst enemy.
He was a competitor. He want the ball. What we see a lot of these quarterbacks, the emotion and the rawness that they have, That's just T.O. And you know, he's just like, man, he wanted to be selfish, but he believes that with the ball in my hand, Skip, I can make plays that the guy that you're trying to give the ball to, they yep. just can't make.
Okay. Well, in the end, Terrell's in the Hall of Fame, and I'm pretty sure Donovan will not be in the Hall of Fame.
I don't believe so either, yep. Skip. No mercy.
The final Sunday of the regular season kicks off with the Cowboys in a must-win game against the Giants. Then the Bears try to win their way into the playoffs against a Packers squad gunning for the top seed in the NFC. Or you may have some other regional action as well. I just can't believe we're already here. Check local listings for the games in your area only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. After trailing through three quarters to Trae Young and the Hawks, Kyrie showed up in the fourth quarter, scoring 17 of his 25 points to pull out the Nets, 145 to 141 in the win. Kevin Durant had a game-high 33 points to go along with 11 boards and 8 assists. So, Shannon, are KD and Kyrie proving they're the best duo in basketball right now?
No, I mean, I'm not. I could have swore about 70... 5 days ago, I watched AD and LeBron lift the Larry Brown Trophy. Skip, they're fantastic. They were marvelous last night. And they needed to be. They scored 33 of their 43 in the fourth quarter. KD had 16. Kyrie had 17. Kyrie was magnificent. KD was magnificent. But, Skip, we need to see this thing play out over time, because what we've seen is Kyrie not play a full season in a very long time. And can he hold up over an entire season? If he did it, we'll see. It's TBD. But they're playing phenomenal right now. And they needed every bit of Kyrie and KD's spectacularness last night to overcome. Let's get up. Atlanta looks really good. They got shooters galore. Trae Young, Cam Reddish. I mean, look.
See what Bogey did last night?
Yeah.
Their newest addition, 6 of 11 from 3. That'll work.
So for me, Skip, look, those two are going to score. They did a great job. And if they don't, if they're not sensational, that's their absolute best, Atlanta's going to win that game. It's not often, Skip, you see a game 145-141 in regulation. So that lets you know that they were putting the ball in the basket. I don't know about a whole lot of defense being played. and who knows? Maybe that's where the NBA is headed. But no, I'm not ready to concede that just yet, Skip. I need to see more. I need to see it over the entire season. Can Kyrie stay healthy? Because we have yet to see him stay healthy for an entire season for in a very long time.
Let me check my watch. 75 days ago, I watched LeBron and AD hoist the trophy in the bubble. And guess who wasn't in the bubble? There's no KD and no Kyrie.
That's not our fault.
Yeah. They thought they were ready to come back, but at the last second, they both said, nah, we'll just take it off. We'll be ready when the next season starts.
We're going to leave a little teaser. We're going to tease y'all, let y'all see what's going to happen.
Shannon Sharpe, this is happening. These guys are going to be better than your guys. And I'll give you that they got to show they can sustain their health.
Skip, I'm not saying that they can't be. I'm just saying not right now. Can we see it? I mean, all you saw is the trailer. You really believe the movie's going to be that good?
The movie has started. We've seen the first 15 minutes, and it looks like it's going to win the Academy Award.
It's Cleopatra. It's 5 hours. Huh? You know about that. It's just 10 minutes of a 5-hour movie.
No, there's no Cleopatra here. Nobody's going to die in this one.
I'm just saying it's got somebody to live in a movie.
Yeah, okay. The fourth quarter last night was something to behold.
It was.
Because Kyrie Irving was off. He had missed his first 7 threes. And it looked like they had a little back and forth over near the bench at one point during a timeout in which Kevin basically told him to snap out of it. I don't know if we have that. We might. I think we were looking for it, but I'm not sure we have it. I saw it on one of the highlights. So here we go. There's a timeout, and Kyrie walks over, and Kevin is, I don't know exactly what's going on, but he's saying snap out of it, I believe, because Kyrie was not himself to that point. And once they both calmed down and locked in, it was nuclear. And as you point out, Kevin scores 16 in the fourth, and Kyrie scores 17 by making 3 of 4 threes.
Skip, okay. When he start dancing with the ball, Skip, you can't do anything.
I agree. Okay. This is why I would take this duo over your duo. The combined clutchness here is at a supreme level. These are both fourth quarter closers, mm-hmm. and they have proven at the highest level in NBA finals they can close big games. And when you combine them, I wasn't sure they could fit with each other, but they seem to fit just fine with each other because they love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a start. Westbrook and Harden loved each other, but their games didn't really fit with each other.
Correct.
Okay? But Kevin's 7 feet tall and Kyrie's about 6'2". So
right.
it works. And they both have that takeover gene in mm-hmm. them. And what I love the most about Kevin Durant is the one thing I don't love about your man, LeBron James.
What?
When the money's on the table and he goes to that thing called the free throw line because they're free, look what he did in the fourth quarter.
9 of 9.
He went 9 of 9 just in the fourth quarter. It's killer. They're such huge, extra easy points that if you can go just salt the game away at the free throw line, it's unbeatable.
And think about that, Skip. What's so amazing about that? Those were the only free throws he shot. He didn't shoot any free throws until the fourth quarter.
But both of them finally said, okay, that's enough. And Atlanta is legit, man.
Yeah.
They're going to be a...
They're
going to
be a problem, Skip.
They're just a problem. I don't even know if I want to call them a contender yet, but they're going to be a problem for everybody they play.
Yep.
Okay, so they were a big problem for the Nets for a long time until those two nuclear weapons just said, you know what, that's enough of this. And Kevin did his damage at the free throw line, and Kyrie did most of his at the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
And when you combine that, they score 33 in the fourth quarter. They won the fourth quarter 43-37. Well, that's a lot of points to be scored in the fourth quarter.
Exactly. Okay. And it didn't seem like anybody was playing any defense, Skip. And when you look at it, they combined for 37 made threes. Everybody was shooting the three. KD didn't shoot the three ball well. Kyrie didn't shoot the three ball well.
Not for the whole game.
Not for the whole game.
No.
But as you mentioned, in the fourth quarter, KD found a way to get to the foul line, made his free throws, and then Kyrie started dancing with the basketball. He had a three-point ball going. So now, Skip, I got to hug up on him because I can't just let him raise up and shoot. Now he's all between his legs, all behind his back, and now he's...
Okay.
Doing all this stuff to you.
So what amazes me the most about Kevin, if we call him 7 feet, you always give him 7 feet. He's
yeah.
not listed. Is that, I think he's listed 6'10 or whatever. But I think he's 7 feet tall.
I do too.
Have you ever seen a 7-footer make free throws at a better clip than this guy?
No.
Because Joel Embiid's a good free throw shooter, but he ain't Kevin Durant.
Yeah, only a handful of guys have been this tall. He, Dirk Nowitzki,
yeah.
those guys that can shoot free throws. Skip, it's a rarity for a guy to be that tall
yeah.
and shoot the free throw that well.
Yeah, because LeBron is 6'9", and I think his hands may be a little too big because he never seems to have the right sure grip on the basketball from the free throw line. He's always sort of changing his motion.
It's all about repetition, Skip. It's like, for whatever reason, LeBron could like, okay, I missed this shot, and I'll come back and I'll shoot the same shot, I'm going to make it. But it seems like if he gets to the free throw line and he misses a couple, he's like, okay, well, I need to back up. Well, I need to dribble three times instead
yep.
of two.
He does.
I need to bend my knees instead of not. So he just can't seem to find a rhythm that he feels comfortable with and says, you know what, just do it over
yeah.
and over and over and over again.
Listen, if you watch Kevin Durant closely as I do, watch how many free throws he swishes where there's like
yeah.
no doubt.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, LeBron will get them where they'll bounce on the front and the back and then they'll fall in.
Yeah.
But these are clean, clean, clean. And last night, I think he swished every free
yeah.
throw he shot.
But you know what, Skip? Because of his arc,
yep.
it's going to swish. It's either going to swish or it's coming out. And LeBron's shot, Skip, is flat. It's not the arc is not as high as KD. But KD was sensational last night. Kyrie was sensational last night. But we know, Skip, we know what Kyrie is.
Mm.
Kyrie, he's spectacular. I mean, we haven't seen a guy. There are very few guys that have that kind of skill set, Skip, from the three-point line to the mid-range to the handles to English kiss off the glass with either hand. We've never seen anything like that.
Hmm.
Isaiah could pat the ball like that, but I'm not sure Isaiah could shoot the three ball like that. Isaiah had a nice mid-range game.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah could get to the hole, but not like this, Skip. Not
Isaiah
like
could
that.
Get hot and stretchy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
This guy.
That 25
always.
In the fourth quarter on that bum ankle against the Lakers.
I was there. Never seen anything quite like that.
People don't realize how good Isaiah was, Skip.
Nope.
He just happened to be in the wrong era. He played in the 80s, and you got Magic, you got Bird, you got Jordan, you got Kareem. And you know, he's a little guy. He got lost.
I was going to say he's 6 feet tall.
Right, right. He got lost in the shuffle.
Yep, I agree.
He was special.
Shannon, this is it. These two.
We see you.
Yeah.
We see you in the big final.
I'd pay to watch that.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
We got something for, I don't know when we see y'all again, but we got something for y'all too.
Who? Mm-hmm. Who's y'all?
Yeah, you know who.
The Clippers?
Yep.
Leatherface. 4-1 to your 3-2.
We got something for Kawhi.
Huh.
Might catch it with another bow.
The Clippers who blew out the Trailblazers who beat the Lakers in the same
game. So you one of those guys. Okay, they beat y'all. We beat them, so we better than
so
y'all.
So we're 31 points better than you are.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah, cool. When we play y'all again, we got some more do on it.
Do you? Okay. I'm good with that.
Ron got something for you.
Really? I think PG-13's got something for you.
Oh, PG-13%. His day coming. Yeah, he feeling real good about himself, but yeah. His day coming. Yeah.
Oh, playoff. Interesting. I saw the gift the LeBron sent you, Shannon. I understand why you got to be friends with the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something. Might have me like 2-3 fingers up tonight.
Skip, something's going on there with that relationship. He's very on the inside, Shannon. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.